too busy to talk with him. Mrs. Keisker, though, loved to chat with the handsome boy who had the voice of an angel. Elvis had graduated high school by this time. Like a lot of people he knew, he didn't plan on going to college. Instead, he got a job at a machine shop, and he sang. Elvis kept going to all-night gospel sing-alongs. He listened to the radio so he could learn how to play more songs. One night, Elvis heard about a band looking for a singer. This could be his big break. He got a special haircut and wore a pink shirt for the tryout. Elvis sang only two songs. A friend of his watched. Afterward, he told Elvis, "You're never going to make it as a singer." If only he knew. One day in the summer of 1954, Mrs. Keisker called Elvis. Mr. Phillips had a song that might be right for Elvis. Could Elvis get down to the studio that afternoon? Of course he could. But it turned out that Mr. Phillips didn't like how Elvis sang the song. He asked Elvis if he knew any others. Sure he did. Elvis sang every song he knew. Then he sang parts of songs he knew. Mr. Phillips stopped recording and just sat in the recording booth, listening. He knew this kid didn't have experience. He knew Elvis needed training. But Mr. Phillips also knew that Elvis had something very special. Mr. Phillips told a local guitar player about Elvis. His name was Scotty Moore, and he wanted to hear Elvis. But when he called, Elvis wasn't home. That didn't stop Gladys. She rushed to the movie theater where Elvis was to tell him the news. A few days later, Elvis went over to Scotty's house. Scotty thought the boy looked a little crazy. Elvis was wearing pink pants, white shoes, and a black shirt. And his hair was greased up in a style called a ducktail. Scotty introduced Elvis to his friend Bill, who played bass guitar. A regular guitar has six strings. A bass has only four, and makes a deeper sound. Again, Elvis played every song he knew. Most of the songs were slow ballads. Neither Scotty nor Bill was impressed, but they agreed to go into the studio with Elvis the next night. At Sun Studios, with the other two musicians, Elvis sang, "I Love You Because," every which way. Sometimes he let his voice go high, sometimes low. Sometimes he whistled during it, sometimes he didn't. Unfortunately, Mr. Phillips wasn't happy with any of these recordings. He told everybody to take a break. The two guitar players got sodas, but Elvis kept fiddling with his guitar. All of a sudden, he started playing an old blues song. It was called "That's All Right, Mama." As he sang, Elvis started dancing and jumping around the room. The guitarists heard Elvis and liked what he was doing. They put down their sodas and started to play along. At last, Mr. Phillips was hearing something he liked. When everybody in the studio listened to the recording, they were amazed. It was loud and electric and different. Mr. Phillips called the local radio station and asked the disc jockey to put on the record. When "That's All Right, Mama" played the next night, Gladys and Vernon were standing close to the radio so they could really listen to their son. Others must have really listened, too, because more than 100 people called the radio station to play that song again. It wasn't long before Elvis, Scotty, and the bass player began appearing at local concerts. People loved to hear Elvis sing, but they loved to watch him, too. He was so handsome, and when he shook his hips, girls went wild. At the end of one show, Elvis joked with his fans, saying, "Girls, I'll see you backstage." That was all they needed to hear. Screaming girls pushed through an open window into his dressing room. They tore off his shirt and boots and tried to yank off his pants. Elvis held on tight. Only a few months before, Elvis was driving a truck to make money. That night, he started to feel like a star. Chapter 4. Colonel Tom Parker. Girls weren't the only ones interested in watching Elvis. A man named Colonel Tom Parker also took note. Colonel Parker wasn't actually a colonel. He had once been in the army, but he was not an officer. And he dropped out to join the circus. Parker thought colonel made him sound important. Parker couldn't sing or play an instrument. He was a businessman who managed country singer Hank Snow. Colonel Parker had big plans for Elvis. When they met, he told the young singer that playing small concerts near his home wasn't good enough. He should be touring the country. Elvis should appear on television shows and star in movies. With his looks and style, Elvis could be bigger than anyone before him. There was one problem. Elvis already had a manager. His name was Bob Neal. Bob was friendly and hardworking. He got Elvis a regular spot on the Louisiana Hayride, a popular concert series on the radio. He also helped Elvis make business deals with Mr. Phillips at Sun Studios. But that didn't stop Parker. He was pushy. Parker knew Elvis needed him. Sun was too small. Bob Neal was too small. And Elvis was going to be big. Famous record companies should be recording his music. That was the way to get big hits heard all across the country. Mr. Phillips knew all of this, too. But he didn't like Parker, and he didn't want to let Elvis go. Vernon wanted Elvis to sign with Parker. The talk of movies and big record deals impressed Elvis's father. But Gladys had her doubts.